Trevor Murdoch, a.k.a. Jethro Holiday. You're listening to Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by my friend, James McLovin Falcon.
Alrighty, we're back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon, and it is an absolute honor to welcome artists and... I was going to say artists and entertainment. I guess you're artists in a couple different ways. Mike Tempo, how are you, Mike?
Hey, I'm good. Glad to be here.
Glad to be here, too. So it seems like you're doing art longer than the music. What kind of came first to you with your love for both?
Well, you know, they both kind of started early on. You know, even in high school, I was in bands. And then I went to the Kansas City Art Institute and studied painting and printmaking. And after that, I moved to L.A. to be a musician. But all along, I've been playing. I've been doing both, really.
Very cool.
So, sometimes some more than others, you know. But musically, mainly the Bone Daddies have been in on an entity since 1983.
Wow.
In fact, we just released the very first album. The first recordings we did from that time on vinyl.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty cool. And we hope to do some more.
Well, my mom owns a lot of vinyl, and gosh, she grew up, and she's born in 53, so she kind of grew up in that era, but now it seems like stuff like that's making a comeback. Can you hear me? Oh, no. Are you there, Mike? Oh, no. We lost Mike. I gotta call him back.
Hey, I don't know what happened.
The call dropped on me. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
That's okay. Gosh, I forget where I was. I don't know. Was I just talking about the Bone Daddies?
Yeah, we got. I was like, it took me a second. I'm like, I kind of forgot where we were at too. But yeah, you were on the Bone Daddies.
And vinyl. Yes. And just saying that the vinyl is just such a fuller sound. I really love it, and you know, but I don't listen to it much, frankly, because I have CDs. I have tons of CDs. So. But I enjoy vinyl when I can, and, you know, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I was born in 88, so I've never heard of vinyl and never got to listen to 8-tracks. I just hear all the stories from my mom about them.
Well, I go back to 4-track.
Like, I don't know, I guess before you, it would have been like 2-track, 2 rocks and some string.
Yeah, well, that's how all the Beatles records were made.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Especially when you get into the hippier type stuff. They were really on some good stuff then. My goodness.
Yeah.
But I also realized going through your stuff that you're a special education teacher, and I have always struggled with certain things and went to a school to help with that. So how did you become involved with being a special education teacher?
Well, after we stopped touring so much, I wanted to stay in town and raise kids and stuff. I started substitute teaching some, and, when I hit a special ed class one day, I just knew that was it. That was my people there. So I was a special ed teacher for 15 years. Yet the Bone Daddies still limped along, you know, we still played in town, but mainly working with kids with autism, so that was kind of my specialty.
Well, that's very nice.
Yeah, and I did a lot of music with them too, especially drumming, and so I was able to bring that aspect into it.
Yeah, my girlfriend's a music teacher, and it's really nice just, like, hearing about the kids' smiles on their faces and everything that music can bring them.
It's great, and that's a rare thing these days, music and art teachers in school. A lot of schools don't have that anymore, which is a shame.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. I think I remember hearing about one of the schools I went to got cut out the art department. I think that was like one of my favorite classes.
Well, yeah. I mean, for all of us, you know, left brain people.
Creative, yeah, creative minded.
Whichever side it is.
I just would have thought creative minded. I couldn't even have guessed what side of the brain it was.
But my kind of visual thing has always been a kind of a solitary endeavor, as painting is, you know, and music has always been a collaborative event, and yeah, that's one aspect I love about it, and especially with the Bone Daddies, we've always had just great players in the band. I mean, every player we've ever had in the Bone Daddies is a better musician than I am. So I'm in a good position, you know, and being in L.A., there's just so many great players here. But our lineup has been stable now for 20 years or more, pretty much stable.
Oh, wow.
Although we have, you know, former Bone Daddies that do other things and still come back, you know. It's, you know, so many people in the Bone Daddies have, singer-songwriters have careers in their own rights, have their own bands, and I love that, you know. We've got one guitar player now that does, you know, a lot of movie things and TV stuff. He just did a thing with Dolly Parton.
Oh, wow.
So he's doing that stuff on kind of a high level, but then he loves playing in the Bone Daddies because it's, you know, it's a very collaborative thing, and we improvise a lot on stage. It's almost like a jazz band in that sense.
Yeah, I was trying to fit a genre to it because, I mean, I love the music, but it seems like there's kind of a mix of a little bit of everything.
Yeah, well, that's always been my concept and our concept of World Beat. When we first started, we were one of the first bands in the States to be referred to as World Beat. But it wasn't because we played African songs authentically or New Orleans stuff authentically. We used those rhythms and those grooves, but wrote original songs around them, our own kind of take on that. So, you know, that's just part of my idea of what world music is. It's got, you know, in this day and age, people anywhere can listen to music from anywhere.
Absolutely.
You know, it's such a rich resource.
And like radio too. I mean, if I got into radio in 2007, but man, if I had got into it in like 1987, my market and my listenership would have been so much fewer than it is now.
Yeah.
And where I've been heard and all that fun stuff.
Well, that's great. Very cool.
I first found out about you guys because one of my favorite movies is I Love You, Man. And, of course, Water Slide is in that, and I love that song. How did you, well, I guess kind of a two-part question. How did you guys write Water Slide, and how did you get it into the film?
Well, it was written by Marcus Watkins, our guitar player. Okay. And he pretty much brought that song to the band pretty much complete, and we filled out our parts on it, you know. And then sometime later, after we played it live many times, we went in the studio and recorded it. So that's how the song existed. And then I've got a friend who is an editor, was an editor on that movie, and it was used when they were doing it was used as fillers if they hadn't decided on a song for that spot.
Yeah, they were in Venice Beach. Paul Rudd was walking to the taco restaurant. I just watched it last night, or
okay.
I probably wouldn't remember.
Oh, yeah, it's also on the closing credits.
Oh, okay.
Which is really cool, because they did a separate, like, movie mix for it.
Oh, nice.
Where, you know, the all the big speakers and all of that stuff. So,
wow.
But it was just, it wasn't really going to be in it. It was just there until they found something else, and they never found anything better that they thought was better, and they kept coming back to it, so we kind of lucked out in that sense. It wasn't like we had a movie agent or anything to submit things.
Wow. That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And I liked the movie a lot, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good, and it really stands up over time.
Yeah, no, you can't always say that about movies, but that's true.
Yeah, that one's still pretty funny.
Well, what have you been working on lately? I know I try to get to the current stuff, even though I kind of live in the past sometimes.
Well, we just recorded about 6 new songs, and it's kind of cool where we record them. It's in this A-frame in the Hollywood Hills. That's the house closest to the Hollywood sign. So if you can picture it, it's like a 60s A-frame, you know, and it's just got great sound in there. And then we found out it used to be the where the Association lived. And I don't know if you know that band, but that was a famous band in the 60s that kind of lived together and had a house there.
No, so, I've never heard of them.
Pardon?
I've never heard of them.
Oh, you ought to check them out. They have a great song called Along Comes Mary and Cherish, you know. They were a 60s band, kind of marketed as a corporate thing almost, real clean cut and all that. But they were really just L.A. hippies living up in the hills, you know. And so anyway, we recorded 6 songs up there and just mastered them. And we're going to record a few more, and we'll have an album. In the meantime, we'll probably release these the way people are releasing songs nowadays, just one at a time on a digital format, you know. And we're still, you know, they're very fresh, so we're still kind of trying to decide what to do with them.
Right.
And how to get back in and do some more.
Yeah, I was going to mention, too, before we wrapped up, that we had a couple of new tracks from you guys. Could you kind of introduce them for us?
What did I send you? I sent you one called My Tribe.
Yes.
Which is kind of self-explanatory, except that the thing that I would bring to it is, you know, there's a lot of talk about tribal stuff nowadays. Whose tribe are you with? And to me, that's, you know, my tribe is just the human race. It's everybody. So that's what my tribe is about. If there's any other, you know, it's just a good beat and, you know, a song we liked. And a song the whole band kind of developed in the studio. And the other one is Poking the Bear, which our singer Casper Abbo kind of brought to us, although we started that and it created it in the studio, and then he kind of rounded it out. But that's just kind of a folk, you know, humor song about don't mess with your woman.
That's funny.
Don't start no you-know-what, and there won't be no you-know-what.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Where can everybody find the Bone Daddies?
Well, we are doing a couple of outdoor shows, but out here, we're not spitting distance from Illinois.
Oh, go ahead. We're heard everywhere.
But, we're playing a big fireworks show in Culver City. We've got a show coming up at a private residence, but one that has an orchard, and we're setting a stage in the orchard, so that's going to be neat. And We're playing a new place called the Write-Off Room in L.A., which we had a residency there before the lockdown. Mm-hmm. And we had played 98 Sundays in a row. And I'd hired opening bands for all of them. They were all a whole array of L.A. bands. It was a real cool scene. But now they're in a new location, and we're just starting to play there again. So that's in Studio City, the Write-Off Room. So hopefully we'll be there a lot.
And I'm guessing your website's bonedaddies.com?
Yes.
All righty.
Check us out. And, you know, if you want to see some art stuff, I've got michaeltempleart.com.
Oh, of course. I was going to check your art out as well.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. And we're going to hear the tracks. Everybody's going to hear the tracks after this.
And, oh, that's great. Well, on a couple of them, then, you have a world premiere. There you go. They've never been heard, so you can know that.
All righty. Well, thanks again, Mike, and thank you everybody else for joining us. Enjoy the music, and have a great night.
Thank you.
Always giving what for you.